Turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. I want to read two verses in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 of that chapter. Colossians chapter 1, 9 and 10. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom, spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Our Father, as we come to this text, we plead for your guidance. We plead, Lord, that you would show us wondrous things out of your law. Many times, Lord, in your word, you bring us to rehearse some of the things that we have heard, encouraging us to implement and to put into practice what you have said. We plead, Lord, that you would be with us in a very special way, and that as we learn from your word even this day, that it would become part of our life, part of our way of conduct. We do plead for your blessing and for your mercy in your name. Amen. Previous to these verses, the Apostle Paul has thanked God for the Colossians as to their response to the gospel. We read in verse 3 of Colossians 1, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. He does not thank himself. He does not thank the programs instituted, but he thanks God because it's only by God's grace that any one of us are brought out of darkness into light. It is only by his grace that we come to faith in Christ Jesus. So what really stirred in the heart of the apostle by way of thanksgiving was when he could look at a people and see that they are walking according to the gospel. Did not at all stir his heart to see a auditorium full of people. Didn't stir his heart to have worldwide recognition. But what really stirred his heart and brought him to thanksgiving was to see a people that, as the word of God is being preached, has an effect upon the heart, something that we don't see much of even in our day. And so he's very thankful, and he thanks God as a source of salvation. And so he says in verse 9 of this chapter, for this reason, due to the testimony and the work of grace that God has done in their lives, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. For you see, all is done in the context of prayer. Paul prays that they might continue in the course that they have begun. It's one thing to come and profess Christ. It's another thing to walk in his ways. And one of his concerns here in these two verses is that Paul was concerned that a good start would make genuine progress and should lead not to complacency, but unto a renewed heart, a heart that is constantly being renewed. When he comes in verse 9 to say that he does not cease to pray for them, the word cease here means an intensity in his praying. This is no small matter to the apostle, but he is one that is found upon his knees intensely before the Lord. He knows, James 5, verse 16, that the fervent prayer of a righteous man will indeed prevail. And so he knows that many, many people start, don't they? But they never finish the race to glory. And that is his concern. And as he deals with that, there's a particular area that he is very much concerned with. He says, as he prays to Almighty God, to ask that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. For you cannot progress in your Christian life unless you are filled with the knowledge of his will. That is the great concern. And he knows that being filled with knowledge, the only way that a sinner can understand the Word of God, where the Word of God makes sense, is if the Holy Spirit himself reveals it. And so Paul says, we have this promise in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. The work of the Spirit is so that the people of God might know. And he's not saying it in an iffy way. He's not saying, well, maybe so. But he is saying it in a way of certainty, that they might indeed know the things that have been freely given. The spirit of the world yet can teach him nothing regarding the will of God. You have man-made programs. You have man-made seminars that are supposed to bring you closer to God. And yet, that is not the case at all. What you need to be filled with is the knowledge that comes by way of the Word of God, and that alone is given by the Spirit of God. And so that a believer must come and pray as God brings them to the Word. Pray that the Spirit of God would fill them with knowledge of his will. To be filled with the perception of his will. What does God demand? What is pleasing to him? And that involves understanding. And that involves wisdom, as it were. The will of God. What is it? What is it that God desires us to do? You have to find that out. You have to search that out. You can't take it from man. You must take it from God himself. How do you know that you're pleasing God? How do I know that I'm pleasing God? What is his will? Knowledge, spiritual knowledge, understanding, getting into the Word, where we're reading the Word, where we're looking at the Word, and gaining in that Word knowledge regarding God and his work and his will. But Paul adds a couple of things here. For you see, many of us can have knowledge, and you have had knowledge. If I were to give a quiz, you would no doubt pass because you have had knowledge. But there are other aspects to this, not simply bare knowledge of his will, but wisdom, spiritual understanding. That is discernment, to be able to discern what God is saying. You have heard many times that a mother and father will speak of their children and they'll say, well, my child, he has a lot of knowledge, very short on wisdom, very short on understanding. What do we mean? We mean that, yeah, intellectually they know a lot, but they don't know how to apply it, and they are not perceptive as far as what the will of God demands of them, understanding to get, as it were, a rich sense of what Christ and what God has said. Discernment is what the apostle is praying for. So we read in Philippians, the first chapter and verse 9, and here's Paul's prayer again. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment. Not simply knowledge, but how do you apply that? How do you bring that knowledge into your life experience? Discernment. You have to have discernment as to, and perception as to, well, what is really being said? How is this knowledge to be applied? This is what Paul also prays to the Ephesian believers. You see, in every epistle, there is some place where the apostle comes to pray for knowledge and understanding and wisdom. We read in Ephesians 1, for example, in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Those two things put together again, wisdom and knowledge. He goes on to describe what that means. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know, that is, you might perceive what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So that, you see, this knowledge that you receive, this understanding that you receive, you do so in wisdom so that you might know, you might begin to see just a little bit what is involved in the hope of your calling, what is involved in the riches of his glory. Do you see glory in the word of God? Do you see glory in what he is saying? You see, simply coming to the word of God and just simply reading the word of God, you acquire knowledge. So you read the first chapter of Colossians and you say, okay, let's see, this was said, okay, that's it. But that's one thing, just simply to read. But to be able to meditate upon the Word of God and to be able to gather there in that knowledge, applying it by way of wisdom, coming to a good understanding of anything takes time. If you are to fly a fighter plane, it isn't simply knowing, okay, this is up, this is down, this is the engine. No, what you have to do is get understanding. You have to broaden your scope. You have to read. You have to study. You have to know all the mechanics, all the different things that are involved. So it is with the truth of God that you must come and not simply have the bare bones as far as what the Scripture says, but also with that, good discernment and good perception. Why is it that knowledge of Scripture has so little effect upon those who profess to know Christ? Because it is only knowledge and knowledge alone. And you see, it is your responsibility. It's my responsibility. He is praying here in Colossians 1 that they might come with knowledge. They might have wisdom, spiritual understanding. It's their responsibility individually to acquire this. It is not the responsibility to be spoon-fed by a pastor, preacher. Now, the fact that men and women who profess to know Jesus Christ has such a low view of preaching, to the point that when preaching is being performed, they can only take so much. They can take a lot of other things in the world, but preaching just a little bit, not too much. It makes it so that they are just little dwarfs as far as Scripture is. But that's only part of it, and they don't even take advantage. The Lord says, look, I will give you servants who will labor in the Word of God. This is their responsibility. When they labor in the Word of God, they will come and they will speak. They'll speak in my name. I will speak to you through them. And they come and they preach. And this is what I want you to hear. But very few desire to hear what the Lord has to say. So that when you come to perception, you come to understanding, you come to knowledge, there's very little in the mind regarding that. When they can come and have it explained unto them, when they can have it open unto them, that's part of it. And you see so little thirst. We were discussing this a little bit early. Where are the people who thirst and hunger to hear the Word of God? No. But they'll never miss certain events. They'll never miss certain programs. They'll never miss certain things in life very much and so forth. So at work, when they say, well, okay, here's this manual. You have to look at this manual. You have to get this knowledge down and get it so that you can implement it. You can practice it because this is necessary. And you know that you might lose your job unless you do that. What do? You put your mind to it. You're studying. You're cramming. You are there working. Okay, I got to get this. What is this? What is being said? But when it comes to the Word of God, who cares, you know? I mean, as long as I get a little bit, what else do you want, Lord? Here, the apostle says, not only do I desire you to have knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, but what I want you to do is to be filled, saturated with the truth. Saturated. And how are you going to do that? Preaching alone won't do it. But it is to have that responsibility that the Apostle Paul gives to the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 15, when he says to the people of God, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. You are to hold. You are to get a hold of them. You are to strive to understand. That's your responsibility. It's not optional. It's not something that he's saying, well, this is a good thing to do. Well, he's not saying, well, if you want to be spiritual in the congregation, no. He is saying here that all believers, brethren, involving everyone, it's your responsibility to search and study the Scriptures. What would it be for our job if we were given a paper saying that we are going to have a test on this and you have to pass with 90% or above, otherwise you're out. Find another job. What would you do? What would you do? This is your livelihood. This is what you would study that so thoroughly. You would be filled with it. You'd be saturated with it. You would go beyond that so you don't miss anything. And when the time came, you proceed. What Paul is saying, that is what we must do as children of God. Now, you don't have to persuade a true child of God. Did you know that when the Lord speaks about those who have a mere profession, there's not much he has to say because he knows that the life will tell it all. Life will show it that indeed are you really seeking to be filled with knowledge and spiritual understanding? Are you really seeking that? Are you studying? Are you working towards that? That's the responsibility. What does Peter say in 2 Peter 3:18 that we've considered before? He says, grow in grace. Grow in grace. And he says, it's your responsibility. Grow in grace means that you don't stay in a neutral fashion, but you are constantly growing. You are constantly progressing. You are constantly going forward. How many professing believers are in neutral and they're just floating along, you know, no big deal, because they have been fed in our day the heresy that they can believe in Christ, go down the pathway in neutral, and still reach glory, when that is not so. It cannot be. It's totally foreign to God's grace. It does injustice to the work of Christ. Christ has saved us and redeemed us that we might be his creation unto good works, Ephesians 2 and verse 10. And therefore, it is our responsibility. And he's encouraging the people of God. And he's saying, this is what I pray for. This is what is on my heart, dear brethren, that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom, in all spiritual understanding, that you would begin to know what the Word of God says. Look at what is mentioned in 3 John. In 3 John and in verse 4, 3 John verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children, what? Walk in truth. Not simply have the truth, but they walk in truth. And if they're going to walk in truth, they're not going to bump into walls at all. They're going to be able to walk, and they're going to be able to walk in a straight line, meaning that they understand, they perceive, they know exactly what that course is. What is the will of God? And that is what the apostle is praying. So in 2 John, he says in verse 9 these words, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Isn't that amazing? You see, God doesn't play with us. God is very straightforward, isn't he? He says here that those who abide in the doctrine, that is, those who are living in that doctrine, get a hold of that doctrine, are in the context of that doctrine, and they are plowing along in their lives, making themselves being filled with that knowledge. Yea, that this is what it means. But if they do not abide, they don't have God. You see, a lot of times there are those who get very upset at preachers. But you have to consider, don't you, just a little bit, that when he says that if you do not abide in knowledge and truth, you're not of God. That's God saying it. That's God saying it. Do we get mad at him? A lot of people do. But no, that's what he says. And Paul does not want the people of God. He is so thankful. He is praising the Lord. I see a difference. I see how you've been transformed. I see that you are believers. You're all sitting, and here, this is wonderful. But you know what? I just really, really, really pray earnestly that you would be filled with a knowledge, understanding of the Word of God. This is what I pray. And for what purpose is that? Colossians 1 and verse 10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Fully pleasing Him. You should be one who is deeply concerned in everything you do. Am I pleasing Him? Am I pleasing Him? Am I being filled with knowledge so I know what it is to fully please Him? Not partially please Him, but fully pleasing Him. And what is the fruit of pleasing Him? What's the fruit of walking worthy? Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, because as you increase in the knowledge of God, the more fruitful you're going to be. Those two things are brought together. It is amazing. Ones like the Apostle Paul, he is so concerned with the people of God. And you know what? Those that God has called to preach, they also are concerned. And they just feel like pulling out their hair, because as they unfold the Word of God and they show, here's a responsibility, here's what it means to be filled, here's the will of God, the will of God, the will of God. And yet, and those that listen and those that are just right there go on their way and they never do it. Never do it. That's it. Never do it. It never has an effect. Where is the effect of the Word of God in your life? Where is it that as you come and seeking to fully please the Lord in everything, do you look at your life and you say, I have to change. I have to change. That's it. I got to change. I got to turn from this. I can't do this anymore. Is there anything like that? Or is it never like that? Is it just like, well, I'm going along. I'm coasting along. Walking worthy of the Lord. Fully pleasing Him. That is the purpose. The purpose. It's what He encourages the people at Philippi when He says in Philippians 1 and verse 27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Walking worthy of the Lord. Let me put it this way. When you're out and about, you're with family. You're going to be with family during Thanksgiving. So you're a family. You're what? Does that family look at you and see the gospel? Do they look at you, picture of the gospel, in your manner, in your walk? Or do they say, great, you're just one of us. You're one of us. Good. And they all just fellowship and they all just have a good time when everybody's just the same. Or do they see you and they say, there's a picture of the gospel. A redeemed man or woman who is walking holy, seeking to be filled with the knowledge and understanding that they stand on biblical principle, they will not waver, and as things come down as far as conduct, I will hear from them, I can't do that, I can't do that. I can do this. I can't do that. To where those looking who do not know the Lord Christ, there's a difference. Wow, they're not the same as we are. Now, we'll find out in a lesson yet to come that what does that generate within the family? Hatred. The world will hate you. The family will. I don't want to be around you anymore. We'll have a party. Don't invite him. Don't invite her. Really? Why? Because light in the midst of darkness is hated. Darkness hates the light. John 3:19 and on. The darkness cannot stand the light. I'm not saying that you have to go about with family hating you. I'm not saying that. But I'm just giving you what some scenarios will be and some situations will be. But the point of it all is that your life being filled by the Spirit of God is such a picture and a testimony. Where do you go to church? Oh, I go here to this church. Really? Yeah. What time do they meet? Oh, yeah, they meet this time. Well, I see you shopping at this time. Oh, yeah, I just go to one service, that's it. They say, well, wait a minute. I thought you really, I mean, you're telling me that you really desire to be filled with the Spirit. You desire to love Christ with all his heart, and you want to learn. You want to understand. And what? You don't take advantage of that? What kind of faithfulness? I go to a church, and I am faithful. I'm there every day. And you look at it, and you say, yeah, but your church is a cult. Well, I'm faithful. You're not faithful. I'm faithful. Got something, don't they? Where is that drive? Where is that spirit? Where is that desire that I want to learn as much as I can? So I'm going to be studying. I'm going to be meditating. I'm going to be working. But I'm also going to be listening every opportunity to servants of the Lord as they come and preach the word, because whatever they can teach me, hey, I'm just that further ahead. That's all. I just want to know. I want to implement. But now, not only is it fully pleasing, but listen to what he says in Colossians 1:10. He says that you may walk. You may walk. So what are you implementing? What are you implementing? Let's have a chart. We're not going to do this, but if we could, let's have a chart on the wall. Have your name by it. And you write down all the times in your walking that there's fruit. And when he speaks of fruit, he is speaking of progress. He is speaking of building. He is speaking of an increase in our obedience, in our love unto our God. And you, where would we be? You see, this matter of grace, it is such a glorious position to be in. Because when God has saved you and brought you to himself, what greater thing is there? When you come to know Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, and you begin to understand a little bit what happened to him on the cross. What happened unto him? What did he accomplish? And you began to see the benefits. And then you began to pray. And there's such sweet communion with God. I mean, that's just everything. Everything. For me to live is Christ, says the apostle. There's nothing more that I desire, nothing more that I want. And I am so excited. It is so precious. Is that true? Is that true? Or is Christianity just something on the side in order to get to glory? Did you know a lot of times, the teaching and preaching, the only concern of those listening is, well, I don't go to hell, but I go to heaven. That's it. As long as I get to heaven, who cares? Preacher, who cares? But you're not going to get to heaven unless you are walking. You're not going to get to heaven unless there is fruit. And you're not going to have fruit unless there is knowledge. And you're not going to have knowledge unless the Spirit of God shows you and gives you understanding. And you're not going to be given that just in your sleep, but it will come through hard labor and work, laying hold, and says Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2, of the Word of God, and then in the final analysis, implementing it. That's it. What good is knowledge if you don't implement it? What good? So I have all the knowledge to build my home, my dream home, and yet I just sit in a chair in front of the open lot and I do nothing. You say, wow, you got all this knowledge. You know exactly. You're just sitting there. What good is that? Where's your house? Where's the dream house? You have to work. You have to implement it. You got to take everything that you've learned. And that is the desire of the Apostle Paul. And so he says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience, and long-suffering with joy. This is the prayer. This is the prayer of every preacher. And this is where you need, and I need, all of us, no one exempt, to look at ourselves and say, what knowledge, what wisdom, what spiritual understanding am I walking? Am I walking worthy of the Lord? Fruitful. Am I fruitful? Am I gaining ground? Am I increasing in the knowledge of God? What is it? Listen. You hear what's being said in the Word of God, and you don't do it, you don't fulfill it, you ain't getting to heaven. To say it that way, you ain't getting to heaven. Only those who persevere in the realm of truth to the end shall be saved. That's what makes a preacher happy as we close this morning. That's what makes a preacher happy, is to see progress in holiness. Brings out the Word of God, brings out the will of God, and yet they don't, nobody responds, just goes on your way. That's grieving. That's hurtful. But it is only those who are in Christ. And I would close with this. If you find that you're going in neutral, if you find that you've not increased, if you find there isn't desire, as spoken of this morning, you need to plead before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ that he would save you. He'd redeem you. Because you see, the work of God will always be fulfilled. His designs will always come to pass. His purposes will always come to pass because He is God, infinite in power, infinite in mercy, and it will be accomplished. And therefore, there is no possibility for failure in those who are in Christ. Did you know that? Did you know that? Now that is tremendous encouragement. Lord, what tremendous encouragement. Let us apply ourselves and let us be that we be filled with the knowledge and will of Almighty God. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you so much. You don't leave us in the dark. You don't just let us go making up our own pathway. You don't at all make everything confusing, foggy, can't understand it. You are very direct and you are very clear. Lord, bring us back to a love for truth, a love for you, a deep, deep desire to be filled with your grace and mercy, that we might walk in everything fully pleasing you. That's all that matters, pleasing you. And may it be, O Lord, that as people see us in our walk before you, that we reflect the gospel, reflect you are God. We plead, move and come and meet with us in your precious name. Amen.